Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 20. God the Father raised him, that is Christ, from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. In 1945, after the death of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Harry Truman ascended to the office of President of the United States. And it was right at the end of World War II. And Truman was out on a ship in the Pacific Ocean, and he loved to play cards. The trip was designed in order for him to gather information to bring an end to World War II, one of the greatest events of that century. And so here is the most powerful man in the world on this ship, contemplating one of the greatest events and how to bring an end to one of the greatest tragedies of World War II. And he would gather together the members of the press corps and take them into a back room because he liked to play cards so much, and would ask to sit and play cards with them, take off his tie and his suit and look just like one of them, probably smoking cigars and everything else. And he'd have to remind them, apparently, every time they would gather them together that, don't think of me as the President of the United States. I'm here just to play cards. And I'll follow the rules, and you don't have to cheat to let me win, things like that. It's interesting that here is the most powerful man in the world out on a mission to do something that was so tremendous, and yet if you walked into that room and you didn't really know who he was, he probably would have fit in with everybody else who was there. He gave up his authority during that game to sit with them. And yet, of course, when the time came for the game to be done, he went back and assumed his top position in the world again. Gives us a little bit of a picture of what the Son of God has done for us. The Son of God, in all of his majesty and glory in the heavens, think of all of the honor and the power that he exuded from heaven, chose to lower himself and to come down into this world, and not just to be humbled as a human being, but on top of that, live as a lowly carpenter's son, to humble himself to the point of even going to the grave and being treated like a common criminal. But he never once during that time, even though he appeared to be so lowly, he never once during that time gave up his exalted position, never once gave up his authority that he possessed as the very Son of God. The text that we have in front of us from Ephesians 1 follows our Lord Jesus from the point of his cold, dead body in the grave through his resurrection to his ascension into heaven, his exaltation to the throne at the right hand of God, and to now describe him in this position of such tremendous might and power and authority. It's really quite a transition. We're so used to this as Christians that we've heard it so much and we express it in the creed so quickly and we're so used to it, we sometimes don't really stop to fathom what we are confessing and what we're saying. That this human being was placed in the ground as a common criminal and yet then rose again victoriously and has now been exalted high above any authority that there is in the world, any power, any government, any ruler, anyone in history, and placed at the right hand of God the Father, and will now come to judge the world. So, what does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with my life, your life, sitting here today? Is this just some story about the grandeur of Christ? Well, listen to our text once again, one of the lines. Paul says, God put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things, and here's the key words, to the church. He gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know, it's kind of ironic. If you're like me, we're sometimes tempted to think that the fact that Christ ascended to heaven and is seated now in heaven, that somehow that removes him from the earth, somehow that takes him away from being able to benefit us more. We often think, if only Jesus was still here, my faith would be stronger. Wouldn't evangelism be easier? Wouldn't it be much easier to convert people if the Son of God was still here on earth? And God consistently in Scripture tells us, no, it's to our advantage, it's to your personal advantage that your Redeemer is now in heaven, seated above. And it's not as though he's removed from us. No, he's just now been plugged into a position of authority that will benefit his church, that watches over us, protects us, and works all things ultimately for the good of his faithful. St. Paul uses a very easy illustration for every person in here today to relate to, and that is your body and your head. In the same way that your head is so connected and part of your body you don't even think about it, you just move around together, that's how we are to understand how Christ is with his body of believers, with those who love him as the one who paid for their sins so they could go to heaven. You see, Christ Jesus is not simply with his church the way your mom thinks about you when you're away at school and has your picture on the refrigerator. He is intimately connected to you through faith. Listen to an old theologian from the 1600s by the name of Abraham Kalov. Listen to what he writes. So highly Christ esteems his church, so tenderly does he love her, that he considers himself imperfect and incomplete if unconnected with us, and we not united with him as the body is united with the head. Think of that. The Son of God considers himself incomplete without you, without being connected to you by faith. Now that Christ has ascended to heaven, it's not as though he's tucked away somewhere in some corner on a throne and has nothing to do with us. Quite the opposite. He is continually working in our lives through his word and sacraments, watching over his flock of believers. Here's a great story from the Bible to demonstrate this very thing. Remember the story of Saul's conversion, Saul who would later become Paul, his conversion on the road to Damascus and how he's blinded and knocked off of his animal and falls to the ground. And the Lord there comes, Jesus comes to confront him from the heavens. And I want you to listen again to what Jesus says to him. He said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He didn't say Christians. He didn't say believers. He didn't say my church. Me. When the believers are persecuted, Christ is persecuted. When the body receives blow, the head feels it. That's how intimately connected your Lord Jesus is to you and me through this wonderful present God has given us in our hearts called faith. And this is something that only faith can understand. And only faith can see. It appears to our senses that the church of God in this world has no power. We feel small. We feel insignificant. We feel crushed by our culture and by our society. We feel under attack constantly. And we feel weak and intimidated. But from God's perspective in the heavens, boy, does he look at it differently. Does he see us in this world differently? He sees his church as powerful, though hidden, connected to the most powerful one, and that is Christ. And God tells us that he will permit his church to continue in this world as long as it is necessary for the world to last, until the final elect person is to come home. When I was in confirmation classes, I used to have one of my eighth grade students lie down on a table whenever we would talk about the exaltation of Christ. And I'd have him lie flat and pretend he was sleeping. And then I would say, "I want you to slowly get up." And I had everybody in class watch that the first thing that came up was his head. And then the whole body would come up. That's how God wants you and me as believers to feel about the resurrection and exaltation and ascension of Christ. We have watched the head go up into the heavens through the clouds. We're just waiting for our turn. And we're connected to him by faith. What a blessing to be part of the body of Christ. Amen.